Next item on the agenda is Trevor A. Green, item number 20-0363. Who will be handling this?
Mike Johnson, environmental engineer.
Thank you. Mike, Mr. Johnson, do you solemnly swear the testimony that you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Proceed, please.
Trevor Green, 20-0363, review of the Gloucester County Wetland Board's June 10th, 2020 decision to approve the filling of 500 square feet of vegetated wetlands and 25 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands as part of the bulkhead replacement project along Sarah's Creek at tax map number 51CC111. Since this is a review of the Gloucester Wetland Board decision, I will be presenting the official record of the hearing. This includes the application, presentation by county staff, additional testimony given by staff, the applicant agent, and other testimony provided by the public during the hearing. I will also provide you a summary of the board's deliberations that help them derive the rationale for the decision and why we are reviewing the decision today. You can advance to the next slide. The following slideshow was presented to the board by county staff to help familiarize the board with the issues of the project. This includes aerial photography, application drawings, and photos of the project site. Next slide, please. I did insert this one slide for the commission's benefit to better understand the location of the project site, Sarah's Creek, which is a tributary to the York River near Gloucester Point, and this is just downstream of the Coleman Route 17 bridge. You can see that area highlighted in yellow. Next slide, please. This is a tax map parcel screenshot taken from the Gloucester GIS system. As you can see, the project area is on a finger of Sarah's Creek, marked by the arrow in red. This area does have a bit of history. It has been dredged at least one time before in the 1940s, I believe. The portion where the applicant's property is located is considered to be a natural waterway and stayed on bottom. But once you make that turn up to the northwest, that is considered to be a man-made canal as it was dredged from uplands and wetlands. Next slide. The following five slides are a time series of aerial photography that was presented to the board. This first photo is from 2011. The applicant's property is highlighted in blue. As you can see, the applicant's property is undeveloped, as well as the downstream neighbor to the up to your left a little bit. These pictures will change orientation a little bit as I go through them, so I hope that doesn't confuse you too much. The upstream neighbor to the bottom of the picture does have a residence here and a rock revetment protecting shoreline as of 2011. Next slide, please. This is the same another 2011 aerial. This from a different angle so you can better see the rock revetment on the neighbor's property upstream. And again, you can see that the property is undeveloped here and also as well the property downstream. Next slide. This is a 2013 aerial showing no real change to the property from 2011 to 2013. Next slide, please. Now, this is 2017. As you can see, now the downstream property has been developed. This includes a residence, a marginal wharf for pier, and a bulkhead. And this was approved by the local wetlands board for the bulkhead. Next slide. 2017 from another angle. This helps you better see the established wetlands, vegetated wetlands at the site, marsh fringe there along the waterway. And this aerial photograph is still representative of site conditions today. Next slide. This table of impacts was presented to the board. This is from the joint permit application. This is showing the project would result in the fill of 500 square feet of vegetated wetlands, 25 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands, and 210 feet of subaqueous bottom. This last portion requires a subaqueous permit from BMRC, but that issue is not being considered by you at this time. Next slide. This is a project plan drawing showing the 105-foot proposed bulkhead with return walls and the location of the intertidal wetlands that are proposed to be filled. Next slide. This is a cross-sectional drawing of the proposed bulkhead. The drawing indicates the new bulkhead would be installed 2 feet channeled in an existing failing bulkhead. The new bulkhead would be relocated in state waters and would require BMRC subaque use permit. Water depth offshore of the bulkhead is approximately 3 feet. This does factor into the decision of the Wetland Board for living shoreline not being appropriate for erosion control. And the existing bulkhead is currently protecting a benched vegetated marsh and is essentially functioning as a living shoreline. This is an important consideration I'll be coming back to during the staff recommendation. Next slide. This is a ground shot taken. It was approximately low at mid-tide. You can see the bulkhead is in an advanced state of failure with slumping of the marsh through the gaps of the existing bulkhead. The photo also shows there are species of wetlands plants such as saltbush, Spartina alterniflora, Spartina patens, and distichlis, and these qualify this as a vegetated wetlands as defined in Title 28.2, Chapter 13 of the Model Wetland Ordinance. Next slide. Now we're going to do some ground shots from different angles. You can see here the wetlands in relation to the neighboring property. Next slide. This is a closer shot showing the marsh area again and the yard that leads up to it. Next slide. Ground shot showing the width of the bench marsh looking upstream. Next slide. Another shot that shows the failing state of the existing bulkhead. This is a zoom in of the bench marsh area showing some of the species present that I listed a few moments ago. Looking downstream at the fringe marsh shoreline. And a ground shot of the failing bulkhead close to low tide. As you can see, the new bulkhead would be in DMRC jurisdiction and require the subaque use permit mentioned before. The bulkhead is in pretty bad shape, and if the bulkhead were to completely fail, the marsh would slump into the creek and result in upland erosion as well. This concludes the slide presentation by county staff to the board. During the public hearing, the board heard testimony from Mrs. Carla Havens, agent for the project. Her comments mentioned the need for the project and the unsuitability of a living shoreline solution for erosion control due to water depths offshore of the bulkhead. She also discussed wetland impact avoidance by installing the bulkhead landward of the wetlands, but says this was dismissed by the applicant as it would still allow the applicants to erode as the bulkhead continues to fail. She then asked the board to approve the project, since a similar project was approved a few years ago in this location from a different property owner, and that the required on-site mitigation had been completed. All of her comments to the board can be read in the official verbatim minutes, which are part of the package provided to you. The board also heard comments of the adjacent property owner, Mr. Bowditch. He stated the board should go ahead and approve the project, as both adjoining properties have had their shorelines hardened, and a similar project was approved here in 2016. The applicant also made a statement asking the board to approve the project as submitted, saying he wants to protect his property. The slide you have here is a synopsis of the board deliberation, and I'll briefly go over these points. During the deliberations, the board did discuss the need for the project and noted the slumping of tidal marshlands where the bulkhead is in advanced state of failure. They also discussed the living shoreline alternative and decided that offshore bathymetry of minus 3 feet beam low water at the edge of the existing bulkhead precluded the construction of a rock sill. They discussed avoidance by constructing the bulkhead landward of the local wetland board jurisdictional limits, and they decided that this would still result in loss of the wetlands due to the unnatural state of a bench marsh behind the existing failing bulkhead and the dredging history of the creek. The board also noted that a similar project was approved on this property under GAPA number 16-1764 that allowed for the construction of a bulkhead and fill of tidal wetlands with creation of wetlands as mitigation, and that the neighbors had also hardened their shorelines. The board decided the best way to preserve the vegetated wetlands for this application was to allow the fill of the 500 square feet of vegetated wetlands and 25 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands and require in-lieu mitigation fees to be collected for the creation of the tidal wetlands at another location in the county. You can go to the next slide. These are basically the clip notes of the staff summary. I will go ahead and read the full staff summary recommendations and record for you. Section 28.2-1313 of the Code of Virginia specifies when the Commission should modify, remand, or reverse the Wetland Board's decision. Based upon our attendance at the hearing and our review of the record, Staff believes that the Gloucester Wetlands Board erred in its approval of the project as submitted and did not give full consideration to the criteria for approval of the application as specified in the Wetlands Zoning Ordinance. It is staff's opinion that the board's rationale for the approval of the project has deviated from established guidelines for guidance by saying that the filling of vegetated wetlands is appropriate for erosion control where the wetlands would be lost due to erosion. This is essentially creating more upland land for the private property owner by filling wetlands and paying a fee, which is not the intent of the Wetlands Zoning Ordinance. Section 28.2.1302.10b of the Wetlands Zoning Ordinance states the board shall grant the permit if all the following criteria are met. 1. The anticipated public and private benefit of the proposed activity exceeds its anticipated public and private detriment. 2. The proposed development conforms with the standards prescribed in 28.2-1308 of the Code of Virginia and guidelines promulgated pursuant to 28.2-1301 of the Code of Virginia. And 3, proposed activity does not violate the purposes and intent of this ordinance or Chapter 13 of Title 28.2 of the Code of Virginia. Section 28.2.1302.10c further states that if the board finds that any of the criteria listed in subsection D of this section are not met, the board shall deny the permit application but allow the applicant to resubmit the application in modified form. Staff is of the opinion that the board's decision on this matter fails to meet all three criteria in subsection D. Additionally, staff thinks the board did not consider all the alternatives that would avoid the filling of the wetlands. There's at least one option that staff discussed with the agent where a new bulkhead could be installed, but at a lower elevation with no backfill that would continue to support the wetlands, maintain continuity within the creek, and protect them and the uplands from erosion. This would essentially create a living shoreline, which is currently the policy of the Commonwealth and preferred alternative for addressing shoreline erosion control. Erosion pursuant to 28.2-104.1 of the Code of Virginia. Section 28.2-1313 of the Code instructs the Commission to modify, remand, or reverse the decision of the Wetlands Board if the Board, in reaching its decision, fails to fulfill its responsibilities under the Wetlands Zoning Ordinance. As such, staff recommends that the June 10, 2020 decision of the Gloucester Wetlands Board be reversed, and the application to fill 500 square feet of vegetated wetlands and 25 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands be denied. This is based on the aforementioned staff findings and a faulty rationale for filling the marsh when there were other methods to address shoreline erosion without converting tidal wetlands to uplands. As stated, this denial does not prevent the applicant from reapplying in modified form to address his erosion control needs. I will note that the chairman for the board, John Sprouse, is online, as well as the agent, Carla Havens, for the project. And I'll be glad to answer any questions you have at this time.
Any questions for Mr. Johnson by members of the commission?
I have a question.
Mr. Tankard?
In the deliberations, I did not see any real mention or some type of quantification of the erosion that they talked about. Certainly, the photographs don't show what one might think of as erosion.
So you do note that there are gaps in the bulkhead itself. We are starting to see slumping of that marsh, not too much yet, but the bulkhead is very old and it is failing, and we are starting to see that slumping. As that bulkhead continues to fail, and this is part of the discussion was, as the bulkhead continues to fail, you'll see more slumping of that marsh, and eventually that, because of that 3-foot drop off from the bulkhead offshore, you'll start to see upland erosion as well when that marsh finally disappears.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Johnson, so that I understand, if it stays in the present condition and is not hardened, when the slumping occurs, what we're trying to protect will ultimately be destroyed. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. So if we do nothing, the marsh will be lost eventually when that bulkhead fails because of that perched nature, 3 feet above the bottom that you have there. It will disappear at some point in the future if nothing is done. So the board, when they discussed this project, they talked about, you know, a living shoreline that could be done with a rock seal offshore. They didn't discuss the bulkhead behind the vegetated wetlands that would protect the owner's uplands, but still allow the wetlands over time to disappear when that original bulkhead failed.
Okay. Further questions by members of the commission? All right, thank you. Who wishes to be heard from the county at the present time? Well, I have listed here Ron Owens, John Sprouse, and Carla Havens in that order. Mr. Owens, do you wish to be heard?
Mr. Owens is the local wetland board planner. I don't think you'll have too much to add at this point. I think he's actually having trouble logging in this morning, but I know Mr. Sprouse, I saw him earlier in the attendee list, as well as Ms. Carla Havens, the agent.
Okay, I think it'd be appropriate to hear from Mr. Sprouse.
I will unmute him.
The wetlands board. Mr. Sprouse?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, there's a significant echo.
Hold on a second, let me expel one of
these. Hold on just a second, we have a little...
Better?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Let me expel one.
We still have an echo that we're trying to work out.
Yeah, hold on just a second. Now try him.
I think it's technical problems on my end.
We have you loud and clear now, Mr. Sprouse. Do you solemnly swear the testimony? You will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Okay, proceed.
I just want to point out a few things. This was the board's first virtual meeting, and Mr. Green's application was the first application on the meeting, and you can see it went rather long. So I think all those added to the complexities of the issue. The board did hear that the previous owner of the property had established the 500 square foot of wetlands that was approved under the 2016 application. But we indicated that that was a different application and did not take that into account. I'm trying to collect my thoughts.
Take your time, sir.
Because it was the first, virtual meeting, there was some confusion. I know for myself, facts that I know today, I would not have voted for an application. There was a number of just miscommunications that occurred during the event.
Well, Mr. Sprouse,
I personally did not. Go ahead.
Mr. Sprouse, considering that, I still have an echo.
He has to put himself on mute while you're talking.
Can you mute your cell phone while I talk? Let's try it now.
Go ahead.
Considering what you're saying and the difficulties that you had out of the gate, while I can't make a motion, I think that everybody deserves a fair and complete hearing. And if there were difficulties that precluded that hearing to be conducted pursuant to the established laws of the Commonwealth of Virginia, there is provision within the code to remand this matter back to the Wetlands Board so that y'all can work out any technical difficulties that you had. The fact that you have indicated that you voted one way, but then had you known something else, causes me grave concern as far as the position the Marine Resources Commission has put in as far as making a determination. So I guess I would ask you, are you asking or would you request that this matter be remanded? Not that the decision has been made for it to be remanded, because I have not heard from all parties involved, but as chairman, is that what you're asking? Or would you?
Yes, I think we would like the opportunity to review this in more detail in our next meeting.
All right, sir, please mute your phone and I will continue this hearing. Next person wishes to be heard is Ms. Havens. Ms. Havens, are you on?
Let me find her, Steve. I do not see her in the attendee list, so what I'm going to do is have to unmute all of the phones.
Okay.
So hold on just a moment. Okay. Now,
Ms. Havens, we do not have you in the attendees list, but if you are on, if you wish to speak at this time, please proceed.
Mr. Kim, Mr. Commissioner?
Yes, ma'am, we have you. Yes, ma'am.
I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God.
Thank you. Proceed, please.
I'm at a loss for what Mr. Sprouse has just said about the board's decision. I thought it was a pretty clear hearing and decision at the Wetlands Board hearing. That's one of the reasons why it took so long. And yes, there were technical difficulties, but there was quite a bit of discussion. Just to be clear, we did discuss in length alternate locations for the bulkhead. And I say that because when Mike was giving his presentation, I wasn't quite clear if he said it was or was not considered to construct the bulkhead on the landward side of the salt marsh. And it was. And then that would be considered a retaining wall, which would kick it into the Bay Act as opposed to a wetland project. Mr. Green was not interested in constructing a retaining wall and a bulkhead. And that's why we figured going with the bulkhead, no more than 2 foot channelward of what had been previously approved, and considering that the mitigation was already completed for the previous property owner, the resource has already been compensated for. And in fact, it's down at the end of the peninsula, so it's even in the same watershed as the Green. Proposed bulkhead. I honestly feel this is a reasonable request, and hopefully you all read through my comments from the hearing. This previously was a marina. The material that is behind the bulkhead now that supports salt marsh was all dredge material that was excavated from the creek, used as backfill. And there used to be a swimming pool on the property, and all of that was removed when the marina closed down and it was turned into a housing development. So it's not a natural site. It's sort of a wetland that just popped up over time, and the adjacent property owner to the left basically did the exact same thing that Mr. Green would like to do now. It's just that he did it a year or two earlier, and Mr. Green's coming along now and doing it. The permit originally, I said that it was an aboutage name, but it's not. And I don't remember the gentleman's name that it was in. He either is or was the sheriff for Gloucester County. I don't live in Gloucester County, so I don't remember his name. But the permit transferred when Mr. Green purchased the property, and unfortunately it expired, and it was extended, and then it was about to expire, and Mr. Green was trying to get a particular contractor to do the work and was just kind of thrown along, and bottom line is the permit expired and the bulkhead was not installed. So that's why it went back before the Wetlands Board. Mr. Green was asking for nothing more than what had already been approved in 2017. And again, not to beat a dead horse, but the mitigation has already been completed. And, I mean, that's a great order in which to have things when requiring mitigation, I believe. That's pretty much it. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them.
Can you please go back and explain to me that you're saying that the permit to do this had been approved and expired, and it caused a de novo hearing before the Wetlands Board?
The previous permit was number 2016-1764.
Right.
And in my notes here, I said it was in the name of David Bowditch, but it wasn't. And perhaps Mike Johnson has that at his fingertips, the name in which the permit was issued. But that gentleman sold the lot to Mr. Green, and that gentleman did not do any of the bulkhead work. So the wetland permit transferred to Mr. Green. Mr. Green tried to get this contractor, particular contractor that he had, it's my understanding he had a contract with this Walter Marine contractor, and was strung along that, yeah, I'm going to get to it, and he didn't. So they extended the bulkhead permit once, they being the Wetlands Board. And I believe it was to expire in December of 2019. And Mr. Green thought that they were at least going to get started on it so that the permit would be valid. But the contractor, for whatever reason, didn't start it. The permit expired, and so that's why we applied under Mr. Green's name for the exact same thing that had been approved of on the 2016-1764 application.
Okay.
And the Wetlands Board approved it then with the mitigation. The mitigation has been completed. It's not on the exact adjacent parcel, but it's down at the end of the parcel, at the end of the little peninsula there. And so what went before the Wetlands Board for review was exactly the same thing that they had approved of in 2017. And at that time, the MRC did not review it. And it's my understanding that there's been no change in county ordinance, state law, legislation. I mean, nothing has changed. And I know July 1 came and went, but this was heard before July 1. And we did consider living shoreline. It's just that site is so adulterated with the bulkheading and the backfilling and the dredging, and nothing is natural out there. And as Mike pointed out, it's not suitable for a living shoreline, in that there's no way you can get a gentle slope, let alone a 10-to-1 slope out there to either re-establish the marsh or just keep that marsh.
Okay. Ms. Smock, can you do me a favor and put back up on the screen the frontal picture that shows the property in question with the two adjoining properties so that I can see it from a front angle? No? Yes, that's fine. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Havens. Do members of the commission have any question for Ms. Havens, agent for Mr. Green? Is that Mr. Tankard?
Yes, she mentioned that they spoke of bulkhead, but did they speak of the bulkhead that the staff had recommended, one that would be at the level of the current marsh that we see in the photos, instead of a bulkhead that would be higher than that, that would include the fill that was proposed?
Savings, can you respond to that?
Yes, we did discuss a low profile bulkhead, and part of the problem with that, we felt, is that the boat traffic coming in and out of there is going to continue to send wakes up onto the area above the saltbush line, and as sea level rises, that salt marsh is just going to submerge and be covered, and then we're going to be left with a mudflat out
Further questions? Does anyone else wish to be heard on this matter, for or against?
Let me unmute all of the phones again.
Sorry.
I'm going to unmute all the phones.
All right, the phones have been unmuted. We hear no one else that wishes to be heard for or against at this time.
Mr. Commissioner?
Yes.
Mike Johnson?
Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I do know Ron Owens, the wetland board planner, is available to speak. If you had any questions for him regarding the meeting and how the meeting went, I know you mentioned you had some concerns about, maybe some technical issues or just the difficulty of the e-meeting. So if you wanted to ask any questions to him, he is available.
I don't want to put him in an untenable position between he and the chairman of the board, but Mr. Owens, if you wish to make any comment, you're more than welcome to.
Commissioner Bowman, can you hear me?
I can. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you'll give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir, I do.
Proceed, Mr. Owens.
So just wanted to bear that Ms. Havens mentioned it was a rather lengthy meeting. I think the meeting went rather well, and I think all bases were covered at the meeting. And as far as some of the understanding of the board members, they may not have fully understood it, but I feel that the meeting went as well as it may have went in person.
Okay. All right. Any questions for Mr. Owens by members of the commission? All right, thank you, Mr. Owens. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action.
Ed Tankard.
Mr. Tankard.
I appreciate the comments of the Gloucester Wetlands Board and also the agent for the applicant. I do think that the argument that the agent for the applicant put forward for the idea that a low-profile bulkhead wouldn't be suitable was not as cogent as I would hope for. And my thoughts are that given the history of the Gloucester Wetlands Board and the work they've done in the past, I would have tendency to remand this back to them to maybe look at it one more time. That would be just a comment on mine as far as so.
Thank you, Mr. Tankard. Further comments by members of the commission? Further comments?
Ms. Everett would like to comment.
Ms. Edwards?
Everett.
Everett. I'm sorry, Ms. Everett?
Yes, thank you. Just in response to Mr. Tanker's suggestion or kind of question, I guess could be asked of staff if they feel like that's the most comfortable proposal moving forward, sending it back to the Gloucester Wetlands Board, or they feel like the proposals and their staff recommendation are kind of safest for the resource.
I have a hard
process here.
In all due respect, Ms. Everett, I have a hard time asking an employee of the commission a question that is under the purview of the commission. I don't want to put him in that position. If you want to rephrase or ask the question in a different form, that may be fine, but to ask the staff if they think a remand is appropriate, I believe is not in order, in all due respect.
Thank you for that comment. And would it be possible to just pull up the staff recommendation on the screen?
Sure.
One more time? Can I ask that?
Yes, ma'am. It's coming to you right now.
Thank you.
Further questions by members of the commission? Okay. Chair will entertain a motion. I guess then before though, I will say this. I do have just a little bit of heartburn with the fact that there are two adjoining properties situated and designed in the manner in which they were. And this specific 105-foot section being singled out. But that being said, I believe that the Wetlands Board, by virtue of the request by the chair, which I give great deference to, I think could do some work with it as well. So the chair will entertain a motion.
This is Dr. Neal. I've moved to remand this issue back to the Wetlands Board for further consideration.
Motion made by Dr. Neal to remand back to the Gloucester Wetlands Board for further consideration. Is there a second?
So moved, Mr. Tankard.
Mr. Tankard. Call the roll. Mr. France? Mr. France?
Aye.
Mr. Tankard?
Aye.
Mr. Zedrin?
Aye.
Dr. Neal?
Aye.
Mr. Minor?
Aye.
Ms. Lusk?
Aye.
Ms. Everett?
There she goes.
Ms. Everett?
Can you hear me?
I can now. Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Chair votes aye. Motion is remanded. A motion to remand back to the Gloucester County Wetlands Board is approved unanimously. Thank you all for your comments. And please, I full well know running this meeting virtually how difficult technology can be, but please make sure during your next proceeding that everything does go in the manner in which it should. And I look forward to your decision. And I thank the Gloucester County Wetlands Board as well as the agent. I know this may delay the project, but it's our duty and responsibility to make sure that we get it right. So thank you and staff for the presentation.
Thank you.